is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We'll begin today with a rite of spring. Opening day for the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park. It's a new season and a new team. And even though a lot of people doubt that this newest version of the Sox will be one of the great teams, it won't take much to improve on last year's miserable 69-win season. And in fact, the Sox are off to a pretty good start this spring, winning four of their first six games, including a 13-0 thrashing last night of the Toronto Blue Jays. And they're now in sole possession of first place. My co-host Anthony Brooks, just back from vacation, headed straight down to Fenway Park to take the pulse of this young season.
Program scorecard for today's game, only a buck. Who needs one? Opening day game. Programs, guys, only $1.
That's right, Meghna, and here I am just outside of Fenway Park as the Red Sox take on the Baltimore Orioles for this year's home opener. It's a beautiful sunny day. They're selling programs. They're selling hot dogs. There's not a ticket to be had anywhere, at least for today. And I'm here with Perry Flood. He's from Pittsford, Vermont, and he's come down for opening day. And Perry, let me ask you how you feel about this season. Terrible year last year. Are you a little more hopeful this year?
Very hopeful this year. Cautiously optimistic. I think John Farrell is going to be a plus. He's going to help this pitching staff. He's come back, and I think that the players will get his respect.
So I got to say, they say hope springs eternal. You're optimistic on this beautiful day. They were so bad last year, though. Why the optimism?
Oh, they were terrible last year, but they had a lot of issues going on in the clubhouse and outside the clubhouse. I think they've straightened that out, bringing John Farrell on board, and I think he'll be a calming influence on this team.
All right, good. So you're Terry's son. What's your name?
I'm Dylan, Dylan Flood.
All right, Dylan. So how do you feel about this season?
Oh, it doesn't matter if this season, next season, last season. I'm a huge Red Sox fan, Boston faithful. They're losing, they're winning, whatever. It's a great feeling to be down here. But they're looking good. 4-2, they're hitting. They look like a good, solid team that will connect. They got some young players. And I'm just excited to be here in the sun, ready for some Red Sox baseball.
And Dylan, it sounds like from what you say that no matter how bad they were, it didn't shake your faith. You're part of the Red Sox faithful, I guess.
No, I got a tattoo on the back of my leg that's a Boston B that says faithful. And I put that on there for a reason. Definitely not going to ever be a Yankees fan. I know that for a fact.
Well, God forbid.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, thank you very much.
Yep.
And enjoy the day, all of you.
Thank you.
So a couple of voices there from the Red Sox faithful. Let's go now to Dan Shaughnessy, who's here. He's a sports writer, of course, for the Boston Globe and co-author of Francona, The Red Sox Years. And Dan, let me start with something that you wrote this morning in the Boston Globe. You called this the redemption tour of the Please Don't Hate Us Red Sox. And last year's team was truly, truly awful. Is this a more likable team so far from what you've seen?
Well, there's no question. We knew that in the offseason. They went out and acquired, you know, they kind of vetted a lot of the poison from the room and brought in some high-caliber guys, guys who've played in big markets, who've won elsewhere, older guys, and I think a more representative hard work and unit. So people get behind that. And, of course, when you add the wins, it's even better.
Yeah, when you add the wins. So they've started off this season, 4-2? Are you surprised at all that they're, so far, six games into a long season, doing as well as they are?
Well, it's a small sample. I mean, you take 4-2, it really doesn't mean anything. But some of the signs that you saw, you know, grinding out at bats, getting good starting pitching, bullpen, strong arms out there, the things you want to see for the long haul, which is what they need to demonstrate. But you take 4-2, you're in sole position in first place, so everybody here will take that, but it does not really mean too much in the long haul.
Talk about this lineup, this mix of older players and younger players, right? Who's standing out so far?
Well, I mean, they've had, you know, obviously the shortstop rookie Jose Iglesias is you know, off the charts. He's had a lot of bunt hits and infield hits. We know he's a great fielder, but to see him with such a high average is amazing. Will Middlebrooks yesterday hit 3 home runs in one game. That's hard to do. No one's ever hit 4 for the Red Sox in one game. So you're talking about a lot of great hitters here who never surpassed that. And, you know, Shane Victorino, the new free agent right fielder, has delivered a couple hits a game practically. Overall, it's just been a pretty good offensive assault given how thin they were at the end of last year.
You know, Dan, I think this is an understatement. You've never been one to avoid tough judgments when teams really suck, and that has included the Red Sox from time to time, let's just say. But are you surprised so far by what you've seen? Is there reason for some kind of optimism here?
Well, I mean, there's no real powerhouse in the division, and Toronto was the team on paper that everybody liked, and the Red Sox banked them 13-0 yesterday, took 2 out of 3, beat their ace. Those are good things. It is a small sample. So, yeah, I'm surprised they're 4-2. I would have figured 3-3 or 2-4 coming in, but it's not a huge seismic change over anything yet. It's just too early to make any kind of claim about the team, but they couldn't have done a whole lot more than they've done so far, so you take that and run with it.
You know, my favorite baseball cliche is it's not the best team that wins, but it's the team that plays the best that wins, and for some reason I'm reminded of that cliche and just wondering if that has significance today.
Yeah, you want to be playing well and be hot at the time, and you see that in the postseason a lot. Sometimes a team will you know, play above its means and get hot at the end and win the World Series when maybe they weren't the best team. So, you know, having guys who get it done together, it takes the collective 25 guys, and again, a 6-game sample really doesn't tell us a whole lot.
But we'll take it on this beautiful, beautiful spring day. Let me just go back a tiny bit. So 2004, they were the incredibly likable idiots. They had this terrific comeback against the New York Yankees, went on to win the first World Series in 86 years. We know the story. They won again in 2007. What happened? How do you explain this terrible slide from 2007 to last season?
I think decisions were made. They got away from player development and scouting and bringing up people through the farm system. They kind of went for quick fixes, which John Lackey, Carl Crawford, Adrian Gonzalez fall into, and got a little more invested in selling bricks in the ballpark and you know, hot dogs and the sellout streak and pink hats and the things that really aren't about the baseball. I think they started to go off the rails a little bit from that philosophy, and it started to catch up with them, and it really showed in the field in the last couple of years.
And do you think management has really gotten the message, and does this team that's on the field right now represent at least the start toward some way back?
I think it is. I mean, really, they bottomed out last year. It was the worst team in 47 years. That's a generation. So, you know, that has to be the bottom. And they have payroll. They have fans. They have people who care. So, really, there's a lot to build with here. They have some good players. I think that what you're seeing now is sort of a bridge back to respectability with the veterans while they integrate the young people back into the team.
So, as we said, Dan, nobody has picked this team to be dominant this season, notwithstanding the strong start, as you say, small sample of games. What's your view? Where are they going to be, say, come the All-Star break in July?
There's no reason you can't contend in a 15-team league where 5 teams make the playoffs and no superpower in your division. I mean, they're all going to be bunched together, I think. That plays in their favor. They should be talking about a playoff possibility when they're into July. They still should be viable for that. If they're not, it means the bottom fell out again, and it's a lost year. No one expects them to win the World Series this year, but if they can be in playoff contention into August, September, that would be a big bonus after what happened.
Well, that's Dan Shaughnessy of the Boston Globe. He's co-author of Francona, The Red Sox Years. And Dan, thanks so much. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Enjoyed it.
And so this young season is underway, springtime in Boston. The Red Sox are in first place. Megna, I ask you, what could be better? I'll send it back to you in the studio.
Not much, really, Anthony. Not much could be better than that. And here's an update on the game so far. In the fourth inning against Baltimore, still 0-0. Stick with us for it, because coming up, we'll move to a debate about using computers to grade student essays. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Anthony Brooks will be back with me in the studio right after the break. This is Radio Boston.